Hello, and welcome to Mr. Doom, and welcome to another episode of Scary Stories. My name is Olivia, and this happened last year. I was 29, living in a city I loved, balancing a job, a social life, and the occasional first date. I had always been cautious, aware of my surroundings, and careful about who I met. But even with all that caution, I still ended up in the most terrifying situation of my life. It started like any other date. I had matched with a guy on a dating app. His name was Jake. He was handsome, polite, had a great job in tech, and from our chats, he seemed genuinely funny. We messaged for a couple of weeks before he asked me out for dinner. We met at a nice restaurant downtown. It was upscale but not too fancy, the kind of place where you could have a conversation without yelling over the music. When I walked in, he was already there, waiting at the bar. He stood as I approached, flashing a warm smile. "Olivia, right?" he said, offering a handshake. There was nothing immediately off about him. If anything, he seemed like the perfect gentleman, attentive, charming, and asking all the right questions. But as the night went on, something started to feel off. It was subtle at first. The way he leaned in a little too closely, the way his eyes never left my face. It wasn't normal eye contact. It felt more like he was studying me. Then, the questions became strangely specific. "You live alone, right?" he asked casually, swirling his wine. I hesitated. "I have a roommate," I lied. He nodded, but I caught something in his expression. Disappointment? Like it wasn't the answer he wanted. We finished dinner, and he offered to walk me to my car. I declined, insisting I was fine on my own. He didn't push, but before we parted ways, he smiled and said, "I had a great time. Let's do this again soon." I nodded, gave a polite smile, and got in my car. But as I pulled away, a chill ran through me. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. When I got home, I tossed my purse onto the counter, kicked off my shoes, and went to change into pajamas. That's when I heard it. A faint clink as my purse hit the counter. Frowning, I picked it up, turned it over, and ran my fingers along the bottom. And then I felt it. A small, smooth object, barely the size of a quarter, stuck to the fabric. My breath caught in my throat as I peeled it off and held it up to the light. A black magnetic disc. I knew what it was before I even Googled it. A tracking device. My entire body went cold. My mind raced through every scenario. Had he put this on my purse at the restaurant? Had it been there before I even met him? I felt sick. My hands shook as I threw the device onto the counter like it had burned me. Then, without hesitation, I blocked his number. I barely slept that night. Every noise in my apartment made my skin crawl. I kept replaying the night in my head. His questions, the way he watched me, that disappointed look when I said I had a roommate. The next morning, I went straight to the police station. I handed them the device, explaining everything. The officer took my statement but didn't seem overly concerned. "Unfortunately, without proof he placed it there, there's not much we can do," he said. They filed a report, but that was it. I left feeling helpless, my stomach twisting in knots. I did everything I could to protect myself, changed my routine, started taking different routes home, even deleted my dating apps. For a few days, nothing happened. Then, a week later, I got the message, an unknown number. "You're good at hiding." I dropped my phone, my heart hammering in my chest. I forced myself to pick it back up, my fingers trembling. I checked the number, no name, no profile picture. I typed back, "Who is this?" even though I already knew. No response. I went back to the police, shaking as I showed them the message. This time, they took me more seriously. They asked if I had seen anyone following me, if I had noticed anything strange. I hadn't, at least, not that I could prove. They advised me to stay somewhere else for a while, so I packed a bag and went to my sister's apartment. She was just as shaken as I was. That night, we barely slept. Every time her phone buzzed, we jumped. The next day, the police contacted me. They traced the number, but it was a burner phone. Untraceable. Whoever this was, they had planned it. Over the next few weeks, I changed everything. I got a new phone number. I moved to a new apartment with stricter security. I carried pepper spray everywhere, and my sister and I started taking self-defense classes. Eventually, the messages stopped. The police continued their investigation, but they never found him. And that's the part that still haunts me. He could be anywhere. He could be watching someone else now, finding a new target. I still go on dates, but I do things differently now. I never reveal too much. I share my location with friends, and I always, always check my purse when I get home. My name is Daniel, and this happened last year. I had just gotten out of a long-term relationship, and after months of moping, decided to give online dating a try. At first, it was casual, just chatting here and there. But then I matched with a woman named Julia. She was stunning. Long dark hair, green eyes, a smile that made her look effortlessly confident. But beyond looks, she seemed normal. No weird energy, no red flags. She was funny, well-spoken, and we had great conversations. After a week of texting, she suggested we meet for dinner. I was a little nervous, but the restaurant she picked was in a busy part of town, a public place, safe. So I agreed. The night of the date, I arrived early, grabbed a table near the window, and waited. Julia showed up exactly on time, looking even better in person. She hugged me hello, and we started chatting easily. At first, everything felt great. She was engaging, laughed at my jokes, asked all the right questions. But as the evening went on, I started to feel off. It wasn't anything obvious, just a few subtle things. For one, she never really answered personal questions. She was great at keeping the focus on me. But anytime I asked about her life, she'd deflect with a playful smirk and a vague response. I also noticed she never touched her drink. She had ordered a cocktail, but only played with the straw, occasionally lifting the glass to her lips, but never actually drinking it. Maybe she just wasn't into alcohol. Maybe I was overthinking it. I had just finished my entree when the waitress, young, blonde, maybe early 20s, walked by my table, not carrying anything. She wasn't bringing the check yet, but as she cleared an empty plate from the next table, she subtly slipped a small, folded piece of paper under the edge of my plate. Then she walked away, avoiding eye contact. Confused, I picked it up and unfolded it beneath the table. Don't leave with her. A chill ran down my spine. I glanced up at the waitress, but she had disappeared into the kitchen. I looked at Julia, who was still smiling at me, completely unaware. My mind started racing. Was this some kind of prank? Did the waitress know something I didn't? I had two options. I could ignore it and go along with the date, or I could listen to the warning. Trying to stay calm, I set the note down and cleared my throat. "Hey, I'll be right back," I said, standing up. "Just need to hit the restroom." Julia smiled. "Of course. I'll be here." I walked toward the back of the restaurant, but instead of going to the bathroom, I veered into the kitchen. The waitress was near the sink, drying a tray. "Hey," I said quietly. "What was that about?" She looked over her shoulder, nervous. I can't really talk here." "Please," I pressed. "Just tell me why you wrote that." She hesitated, glancing toward the dining area. Then she lowered her voice. "I don't know her," she whispered, "but I overheard her on the phone before you got here. She was talking to someone and said, 'He's the perfect one. I'll get him to leave with me.'" My stomach tightened. She kept looking around like she was making sure no one was listening. The waitress continued. "Something about it just didn't sit right. So, I wrote the note." I stared at her, trying to process what she was saying. "Look, I don't know if it's anything serious," she said, "but I had to say something." I swallowed hard, my pulse hammering. I thanked her and walked back to the table, my mind racing. When I sat down, Julia tilted her head. "Everything okay?" I forced a smile. "Yeah, just needed a second. She reached across the table, placing her hand lightly over mine. I was thinking, she said, her voice soft. Maybe we go somewhere quieter? My place isn't far. I tried to keep my face neutral, but my heart was pounding. This was it. The moment. I shook my head. Actually, I'm feeling a little off, I said. I think I might just head home. For a split second, her expression changed. It was fast, so fast I almost missed it. A flicker of something. Annoyance? Disappointment? Then, just as quickly, she smiled again. Oh, of course, she said, leaning back. I totally understand. We made small talk for a few more minutes while I waited for the check. She didn't seem upset, but something in the air felt wrong. I paid, walked her to the front of the restaurant, and told her goodnight. She hugged me, lingered just a second too long, and then walked off down the street. I stood there for a while, watching her disappear into the night. Something told me I had just dodged a bullet. The next morning, I opened the dating app, planning to unmatch her. But when I searched for her profile, it was gone. Not just unmatched, completely deleted. I checked my messages, but our entire chat history had vanished. It was like she had never existed. I tried looking her up online, social media, anything, but there was nothing. No trace of her at all. I called the restaurant later that day to thank the waitress, but they told me there was no one working there by the name I gave them. I haven't been able to shake the feeling that something sinister almost happened that night. And to this day I wonder, if I had left with her, would I have disappeared too? My name is Claire, and this happened 2 years ago. I was 28, living in Chicago, and had just started dipping my toes back into dating after a long break. Like most people, I use dating apps to meet people, and for the most part, my experiences had been uneventful. Some good dates, some bad, nothing particularly memorable. Until this one. His name was Jason. He was charming in that effortlessly cool way. Funny, well-spoken, and confident without being arrogant. We'd been messaging for a couple of weeks before he asked me to dinner. I was cautious, of course. I always shared my location with a friend and met in public places. But he seemed normal, so I agreed. We met at a nice Italian place downtown. The conversation flowed easily, and I found myself genuinely enjoying his company. He asked about my job, my family, my interests. He was engaged, attentive. If anything, he seemed almost too perfect. After dinner, he invited me back to his place for a drink. Just one, he promised. No pressure. Normally, I wouldn't go to a guy's house on a first date, but something about him felt safe. And besides, his apartment was only a few blocks away in a well-lit, busy area. I figured I could always leave if I felt uncomfortable. So I said yes. His place was modern and well-kept. Minimalist furniture, clean countertops, warm lighting. It looked like something straight out of a design magazine. If he was trying to make a good impression, it was working. He poured me a glass of wine, and we settled onto the couch, talking and laughing. But as the night went on, I started to notice little things. For one, there were almost no personal items, no photos, no souvenirs, nothing that suggested a life outside of this space. His bookshelves were filled with generic hardcovers, and his kitchen was nearly empty, as if he barely used it. Then, there was the door. It was at the end of the hallway, plain white like the others, but what caught my eye was the hardware. 3 heavy-duty latches, all locked. I felt a weird prickle at the back of my neck. "What's in there?" I asked casually, gesturing toward the door. Jason turned his head slightly, his smile not quite reaching his eyes. "Just a storage room," he said. That answer should have been enough, but something in his tone felt off. "Why so many locks?" I pressed, trying to keep my voice light. His smile faltered for just a second, then he shrugged. "Old building. The door doesn't stay shut otherwise." I nodded, pretending to accept his explanation, but my gut was telling me something different. I took a sip of my wine, trying to steady my nerves. Maybe I was overthinking it. Maybe he really did just have a poorly fitted door. But something about the way he answered, so smooth, too quick, it didn't sit right with me. I glanced at my phone, pretending to check the time. "It's getting late," I said. "I should probably head home." Jason's expression didn't change. "Are you sure? You just got here." I forced a smile. "Yeah, early morning tomorrow." He hesitated for a fraction of a second before nodding. "Of course," he said, standing. "Let me walk you out." I exhaled, relieved that he didn't push. As I stepped into the hallway, I stole one last glance at the locked door, and that's when I saw it. Scratches. Tiny erratic marks near the bottom of the door, like someone had tried to claw their way out. My stomach turned to ice. I forced myself to keep walking, acting normal, chatting as if nothing was wrong. Jason opened the front door, smiling as he said goodnight. I smiled back, my hands clammy, my heart pounding so hard I thought he might hear it. As soon as I turned the corner, I walked faster, then faster. By the time I reached my car, I was shaking. I didn't know what was behind that door, but I knew one thing. I was never going to see Jason again. 2 weeks later, I was making coffee when my phone buzzed with a news alert. I nearly dropped my mug when I saw the headline. "Local man arrested. Kidnapped woman found locked in apartment." My vision blurred as I clicked the article. My breath caught in my throat as Jason's face filled the screen. The police had raided his apartment after a missing woman's family received an anonymous tip. They found her inside that locked room, malnourished, restrained, but alive. I sat down, my legs shaking. I had been right there, right outside that door. If I had stayed longer, if I had pushed the wrong question, would I have ended up in there too? I called the police immediately, told them everything I knew, including my suspicion about the scratches on the door. They took my statement, and though I didn't have much evidence, they thanked me for coming forward. The woman survived. Jason was charged with multiple felonies. And me? I haven't used a dating app since. My name is David, and this happened about 2 years ago. At the time, I was 30, single, and living in Atlanta. I wasn't looking for anything serious, just the occasional night out, meeting new people, and seeing where things went. I've always been careful about who I trust, especially when drinking. I never left my drinks unattended, never went home with someone I just met, and always kept my wits about me. But that night, I almost made a mistake I wouldn't have walked away from. It was a Saturday night, and I was out at a bar with a couple of friends. The place was packed, dimly lit with music, just loud enough to make conversations feel intimate. I wasn't planning on meeting anyone, but then I saw her. She was sitting at the bar alone, nursing a cocktail and scrolling through her phone. She was beautiful, long dark hair, striking eyes, and a confidence that made it seem like she belonged anywhere she went. At some point, we made eye contact. She smirked, then looked away. That was all the invitation I needed. I walked over, ordered a drink, and casually started talking to her. Her name was Vanessa. She was funny, engaging, and easy to talk to. It felt natural, like we'd known each other longer than just a few minutes. After about an hour, she leaned in closer and said, "You want to get out of here?" I hesitated for a split second. Normally, I wouldn't go straight to someone's place after just meeting them, but the way she looked at me made it hard to say no. "Sure," I said. We walked outside, and she led me toward the parking lot. "My place isn't far," she said, glancing around. But then, just as we were about to reach her car, her phone rang. She looked at the screen, her expression shifting for a split second. Then she answered. She turned slightly away from me and lowered her voice. I couldn't make out everything, but I caught bits and pieces. "Yeah, I got one. No, just him." "Okay, change of plans." Then she hung up, turned back to me, and flashed a quick smile. "Actually," she said, "let's go somewhere else." That was the moment my gut started screaming at me. "Somewhere else?" I asked. "I thought we were going to your place." She hesitated, then laughed like it was no big deal. "Yeah, but my roommate just got home, and I don't feel like dealing with her." She grabbed my arm, giving it a playful squeeze. "Come on, I know a better spot." I didn't move. Something about the way she said it felt practiced. Like this wasn't the first time she'd done this. "Where is it?" I asked. She waved a hand vaguely. "Just a little place near here. More private." That was it. The way she said "more private" made my stomach turn. I took a step back. "Nah," I said, forcing a casual tone. "I think I'm just going to call it a night." Her smile dropped. "Seriously?" she asked, tilting her head. "What's wrong?" I shrugged. "I just changed my mind." She stared at me for a moment, then exhaled sharply, shaking her head. "Whatever," she muttered, rolling her eyes. Then, without another word, she turned and walked off toward her car. I stood there, watching her leave, feeling like I had just dodged something bad. I told myself maybe I was overthinking it. Maybe she really did just change her mind. Maybe I was being paranoid. But then, 2 days later, I saw a news article. Police investigating series of missing men after nights out in downtown Atlanta. My stomach dropped as I read through the details. Multiple men had disappeared under similar circumstances. They were last seen leaving bars with an unidentified woman. The police believed the men had been lured to an unknown location, robbed, and possibly worse. I scrolled down, looking at the details of the most recent case. The last man who went missing had told his friend he was leaving with a woman he'd just met. He was never seen again. There was no official description of the woman. But I knew. I sat there staring at the screen, my hands clammy. I could have been one of them. I could have gotten into her car, driven to some more private place, and disappeared. I called the police tip line and told them everything I knew. I didn't have much. Just her name, if it was even real. A vague description, and the bar we had met at. They took my statement, and though they couldn't confirm if she was involved, they said my story matched details from previous reports. The worst part? A week later, I checked the dating app we had matched on. Her profile was gone, completely erased, like she never existed. I still go out, but I don't meet strangers at bars anymore. And I sure as hell don't go home with someone I just met. Because sometimes, the most dangerous people don't look dangerous at all. They smile, they laugh, they make you feel special. And before you know it, they've led you exactly where they want you.